Knows what is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. So we're starting a daily teaching from tomorrow. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Navigating your Bible. What I want to do in that series throughout the week is to ensure that we learn as much as we need to learn regarding how to read the Bible. Because it's quite important that, you know, like I would always tell you, on account of this Bible, people have lost their lives. On account of this Bible, people have killed other people. Are we together? You see, the Bible is sort of the only book on earth that you can use to defend anything. Yeah, if you want to defend marrying 10 wives, you can use the Bible. Right? If you want to defend killing, you can use the Bible to defend killing. You see, you can use the Bible to do anything. So the Bible, people do a lot of things, all sorts of atrocities in the name of the Lord. So we want to go through what are the fundamental things that a believer needs to pay attention when studying the Bible. So from tomorrow, I'm going to start by 7 p.m. navigating your Bible. Ensure you are there and readily available to take your notes. Now go all the way with me to Mark's Gospel 16. Mark 16. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, gracious Father. Mark 16, verse 15. Look at Mark 16, verse 15. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them," Mark 16, 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth," "he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned." Right? Now, what series are we looking at? Engaging the streets. We've looked at how to engage the streets, or we are looking at how to engage the streets. We've done lots of practical meetings as to how to preach and how to initiate conversations. You see, the onus is on you to actually initiate conversation with a random person on the streets. It's your responsibility. Now, one of the things I found out over time is that conversations can start with anything. Altogether, it can start with a football match. It can start with a boxing match. It can start with the Olympics. We must ensure that as a believer, no matter where the conversation starts from, you have a goal to end the conversation with the gospel. It's your See, nobody will do it for you. It's your responsibility. Right? It is your responsibility. Say, it's my responsibility to preach the gospel. Say, it's my responsibility to preach the gospel. Thank you. Right? So, you must understand that Jesus says, go ye into the world. Go ye into the world is an instruction that God gives to you every single day. Are we together? God has a purpose for your life. And the purpose for your life is hinged around His will for your life. His will for your life is that you serve Him, and while serving Him, you are committed to His cause. Yeah. So look at what is evangelism and what evangelism is not. We said evangelism is not inviting people to church, whilst it's good to invite people to your church. We said evangelism is not sharing of tracts, while it's good to share tracts. We said evangelism is not sharing of church activities on WhatsApp status, whilst it's important you do it as well. We said evangelism is not a responsibility for specific people. You know, some people say, you know, people that go out for evangelism, they are the ones that are called the goers. Then we have the what? We have the give, three G's. We have the goers, the groaners, and the givers. Who are the givers? They are the ones that work in the office to gather the money and give so that they can buy water when they are going on mission. Then we have the groaners and the prayer warriors who stay in the church and they are praying while people are preaching on the streets. Every believer is a giver. Every believer is a groaner. Every believer is a goer. Hallelujah. So we said evangelism is not a responsibility of... So as a church, we can have choir units. We can have ushering departments. There is no evangelism department. If we're going to have evangelism department, it is so that we can coordinate ourselves. But not that they are the team that represent the church on the field. Did you get that? Right? The evangelical department, say, oh, you're a new member of Gospel House. What team do you want to join? Say, I want to join the evangelical team. Right? If you are joining, it is only for you. For instance, want to go and minister in a hospital. That evangelical team can be the one to go ahead to ask, we want to come. What is the procedure? We want to go to a school to go and minister to the students. They can go ahead and ask, we want to come and minister. What's the procedure? Are we together? Right? So we don't have prayer units. We don't have evangelical units because every believer is called to pray. Every believer is called to evangelize. Right? We also said evangelism is not doing community service for your community. We can finish church from now, right now, and decide to go and pick all the littered people around Edinburgh Express, all from M8, start from here, end in Glasgow, go all through the way to A720, pick every dead we see with gloves. If you've done that, you've not done the work God has asked you to do. People can commend you, it's a good thing to do. But a lot of times, what we do is we pay attention to community service more than what God wants as a service to the community, which is what? Evangelism. So we said evangelism is not sharing tea and coffee, right? It's good to have a dispenser on Prince's Street and just say, everybody come and take free coffee. Yeah? But it's better if you say, before I give you coffee, you must believe. You want to drink my coffee? Not the one I'll give you coffee, you say add more sugar. And I don't now preach to you. You see, I don't need to be a Christian to share coffee on the street.
Yeah.
But I need to be a Christian to preach the message of the gospel. So evangelism is not sharing coffee on the street. You said evangelism is not playing gospel music with loudspeaker on the road. Are we together? You can have a speaker and let it be, it can be a point of attraction and people can come and listen to your message. But not if pastor asks you, did you go evangelism? You say yes. What do? You carry speaker to Prince's Street, you plug it. I started playing What a Beautiful Name It Is. No. It can be a part of it. You said evangelism is not giving people clothes. It's good to give people clothes. But if you clothe people with physical clothes and they don't have the supernatural clothes of righteousness, the garment of righteousness, the garment of salvation, the robe of righteousness, is as good as you just clothed somebody who is doomed for destruction. So as you give people physical clothes, you must ensure that there's a robe, the robe of righteousness that's taught in Isaiah. Garment of salvation by taught in Isaiah that you clothe people with. And how do you do that? By preaching the gospel. We said evangelism is not sharing your past story. Hey, when I was in the ward, no skirt can pass and I will not see under. When I was in the ward, if I finish 5 bottles, that's the beginning. We just started. But God turned my life. Look, oh, the Lord. Yeah. See, it's important you understand that the message of your evangelism is the testimony of his resurrection. Are we together? And not really a testimony of your past. I can always tell you, God forgives you and your past, but men forgive but don't forget. I told you of a friend, someone who I'm discipling in the US, and a lady just came and confessed in the church that she was a witch before. And she called me one day, she was lamenting. Pastor, this lady carried my baby. And I went to go and collect my baby from her hand. And my husband was saying, no, now she's not a new creature. You see? Yes, she was a witch. She's now a singer in the church. But your mind will still view her as a witch. Imagine someone comes and say, praise God, God changed my life around. If you see when I used to steal, once I move past you, your phone must miss. You know, if that person is in this church, when we're looking for box last week, that person will be looking for. But the Ebuka was in church that Sunday. God forgives, man rarely forgives, but he can claim I forgive you. You see, God is the one that when you do something bad in the real sense, he gives you a second chance.
Yeah.
And the second chance is on a plain page.
Yeah,
but when man gives you second chance, just know the first one has not finished. So you must ensure. Someone reached out to me and said, Pastor, what kind of information about my past should I tell my wife? You see, what kind of answer should I give you? what should I tell you? Apart from let the Spirit lead you. Is it not true? Let the Spirit lead you.
Not the one you gotta tell your husband where you used to, what you used to do before. One day you came back home by 10, just coincidentally. And his mind starts going. I will say, come, let's be on the video call, they're coming home. Let's start. I want to be sure I'm protecting you. Hallelujah. So when you go for evangelism, the message is a testimony of the resurrection of Jesus, not a personal message. I told you as well, evangelism is not come and see my pastor. He will solve all your issues. No, I'm not Jehovah El Shaddai. Are we together? So evangelism is not, remember, and you know, when we say these things, you think we're joking, but we have people who say these things clearly. We had one of my dad's disciples who went to the street. He went and said, come and see the kind of car our pastor is driving. God can make a mess from the message. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry, message from your mess. God can give you a pulpit to pull people from the pit. Hallelujah. Right? So said, evangelism is not a life without life will be full of. A life without Christ will be full of crisis. Altogether. And what you mean is, by the time you follow Jesus, you will be materially prosperous. That's not true. That's not true. Bible does not support that. Literal living does not support that. You know, I always tell you, the moment you become a Christian, there's an extent of work you can do. There's some businesses you cannot do because you're a Christian.
Yes, sir.
And the business might be the business that brings the most money.
Yeah.
Are we together? Right? So we must avoid teaching people that when you come to Christ, you receive prosperity. It's not true. Nobody gets prosperous by being in Christ. Hallelujah. Right? It's not, you know, there's a word called Zuzu, salvation, all-encompassing. Once we come in Christ, you know, oh, since I started joining Christ, I bought a car, I bought a house, I bought a this, I got a job. And who that give you the job are not in Christ. Are we together? So you don't have to be in Christ to have a solid life. Are we together? I believe strongly in being in Christ and having a solid life. But your solid life is not a degree of your service to Jesus. Are we together? That's why you realize all around the world, all around the earth, the number of Christians who are in abject poverty is almost rising per day. Why? Because it takes some men who are not godly to control the chart, the forex market. Are we together? You know, as we are sitting like this, it takes a man who is an atheist to just give one news and all the money you've been saving. All the money you've been saving in foreign currency from here to just go down. That's why when you come to church, we teach you that when the market goes up, you are not rejoicing because it's going up. Are we together? You are rejoicing because Jesus is what?
Awesome.
Right? Jesus has ascended and is now in your heart. Because if you link your joy to the market that goes up, come and learn Forex first. And you know, as people win Forex, they'll be speaking in tongues. A protection kata. Up, up! And one institutional trader will just come in, and all your up, you just hit your top loss. And what happened? You start again. If you allow your joy to be because you got £10,000 last week, next week you might lose £100,000. Are we together? So you must ensure you understand the right message of the gospel. We started looking at what the message of the gospel is. We said the gospel is that Christ died and he resurrected for sins. The moment you add sins, comma, you are teaching what the Bible did not teach. 1 Corinthians 15. He was killed, he was buried, he resurrected. Are we together? And he resurrected for the remission of sins. That's why when you see Jesus on the table, when he took bread, right, to communicate what you call the Holy Communion bread, right, what people call Holy Communion, right, in the real sense, you will find out that what he said was, this is my blood shed for the remission of sin. You know, Christians have a way of putting comma when the Bible puts a full stop. We have a way of putting a comma when the Bible puts a full stop. It is sins, full stop, not sins and prosperity. Are we together? So if we go out to the streets and go and preach the gospel and say, come, God wants to. Now, that's what I tell you. Any message I preach, and because a rich man or a poor man comes in, I change my message. Then my message is not the message. Altogether. If the richest man in the world walks into this place now, and I begin to fidget, and I begin to change, I say, what can I say to suit his ego? It means that what I'm about to say, or what I was saying, was not the gospel. The gospel is such that the rich and the poor will sit, and they will listen to the same teaching. Are we together? Are we together? Right? So that's why you see the way we do church is slightly in a different way. Because we ensure that with how you do well in your material life, there is a sense of purpose to serve Jesus that must be on your heart. Are we together? Are we together? You know you can serve Jesus and have a good life outside of church?
Yeah.
You know you can. You can grow in your career, yeah?
Yeah?
But I can always tell you, if you grow in your career, if you like join the company today and tomorrow they say you are the CEO, right? If you don't do that which God has called you to do, like a man who went for an exam and they asked a compulsory question and the question takes 70 marks and you fail that question and you answer the remaining questions, what do you have? 30 over 100 and that's still a fail. So we start looking into all those facts, what the gospel is, and instruction. We start looking at skills of evangelizing. And you know, we said something very important. We said, your goal is that the evangelist becomes an evangelist. Are we together? Yeah? Your goal is to make an evangelist from the evangelized. And that's why we're doing a series on follow-up. So we've done follow-up one. What follow-up are we on now? We should be on follow-up 6. We've done 5 teachings on follow-up. Is that true? You can't remember. You can't remember. We've done follow-up. Is that not true? Let's list the topics we've done. We've done number 1. God's palace. So don't go through your notes. Salvation. We've done salvation. I said salvation is one of the first topics you teach your disciple. Yeah? And what is it about salvation? That salvation is eternal. Right? There is nobody who gets saved and can be unsaved. Except you didn't get saved. Or except it's not the God of our Lord Jesus Christ who saved you. Once God saves the man, God snatches the man from the bondage of the devil and he is in God's care forever. Right? I can tell you, if salvation were not to be eternal, it means that the work of Jesus was useless. Why did Jesus have to go through such pain to give man temporary salvation? It doesn't make any sense, right? Yeah? So Jesus will come. That, you know, Jesus is God in the flesh. He would come, subject his spirituality to humanity. You know, when they flogged Jesus, he wasn't feeling pain spiritually. When they tore his skin, it wasn't figure of speech. When they flogged him 30-something times, it wasn't parable. So God subjected himself to humanity and was dealt with by men. Spat on, dragged, he carried his cross. He went through all of that, right? And guess what? Before he went through that, words were spoken from the lips of the prophets that what? The Son will come, he will die. But the death is not the end. It's sort of the beginning because there's going to be the resurrection. And Jesus will become the first fruit. Is that true?
Yeah.
First fruit. Is that true? What do you say another one for first fruit is? Hey, I should be answering my question myself. Oh. What's the name? Another name for first fruit? Eh? First fruit. Another name for first fruit. Have you heard me say first begotten? Another name for first begotten. Still here? Eh? First begotten, first fruit, firstborn. Is that not true? And we said the Bible uses first fruit to teach about the first from the dead. And we're together, right? In our world, first fruit is used for what? No, your first salary in 2024. Now, I hope you know there's nothing wrong in giving you all your salary. If you like, say, go out and tell your company, say, I want to serve Jesus all my life. All my salary, just go God's Palace UK. Let's just go straight into God's Palace UK. Yeah, I'll act like I did not see it. Are we together? I'll just act like I did not see it because I expect that you are well taught. Amen. I expect you are well taught. You say, no, God. You say, I want to give God all my first fruit. There's nothing wrong giving your first fruit. What I mean by first fruit is what we call first fruit, your first salary in the month of January. But some people give their first fruit and they're trying to bamboozle God. You know the word bamboozle? Yeah, God, as I'm giving you this one. All my needs this month. No. You are doing a transaction with God. God is not a transactional God. Are we together? God is not a transactional God. So God will not say, because you gave me tithes, your life will never be tight. Because you give me your offering, you will never suffer.
For what you offer deprives you from suffer. You cannot suffer when you offer.
Suffer.
Miradola. Are we together? Yeah. So, should you be a sacrificial giver?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
so.
But we must understand that when it has gone, it has gone. Are we together? Right? You see, if I'm holding 1,000 pounds like this, if I give you, what happened? It has gone. It has gone. Are we together? So it has gone. So if I want to collect it back, what do? I collect it back.
It's gone.
So you will not give it back. It's gone. Are we together? So when you will not get the knowledge of when you give God 10, He will protect. You know, some of us believe that when you give God 10, He will now send angel to guide the 90. So maybe the bank where you put your money, angels will just be at the gates. With sword. I said, Devorah will not come close to you. No, he. Right? God preserves and preserves, not because we try to tip him.
Yeah.
Are we together? We don't tip God for him to protect. We don't tip God for him to preserve. We don't tip God for him to direct. God, I'm giving you an offering of direction. Are we together? Yeah. So that idea that we have in our cultural backgrounds and biases, we bring it to our relationship with God. So we see God as a money doubler. I wish God doubled money. I wish. Will I be working? All of you be working, eh?
No.
Okay. Brazil, they say you wish that the capital will be plenty. Yeah. I wish God multiplied. I wish God used to just double money like that. I'll just give myself 5 years to work. And I'll just open one account and put all the salary inside. So in the fifth year, I'll just go and carry everything and go and sew it. Waiting God to give me sevenfold. Another angle. You can collect loan. Collect loan from Barclays. Just collect loan from, just let them do credit check. Let them give you 100,000 pounds. I'll give me 5 days. I'll give you 5 days. So by the time they send the 100K into your account like this, before you know it, you just give them back the 100K. You have 500K left.
Yeah.
Because God multiplied by 6. And 6 is the number of man. He didn't make it 7 because he wants you to do more. I always tell you, if God multiplies money, all you need is initial what? Capital. I've not found that when people say they sow seed and God multiplied it by 7, is that all the money they want in their life? Why don't they sow everything? Yes, sir. Why don't you just pack everything? Yeah, let's say you give God 1,000 pounds today, multiply it on Friday, give him 5,000 pounds. Why don't you take the whole 5 and sow it again? You see, my life is a fertile ground, though. My life is a fertile ground. Just bring sowing. Just keep sowing. I will keep telling you. Right? So we told you that the gospel is not about God wants to make you wealthy. Does God meet needs? Yes. God meets need and He does it miraculously. And we've done a series on giving and on generosity and how that works. God meets my needs through you and I. You see, if God wants to give me money to meet a need I need to pay, a bill I need to pay for next week, it's through you. If God wants to give you money, it's through us. But if we decide not to tilt our heart to the generosity that is in our hearts, you will not get it. Altogether. You'll not get it. As I always tell you, if you have miracle money, you wake up one day, you'll see 5,000 pounds in your account. Some of you, the first thing you do is to run to the ATM and withdraw everything. Or you transfer to another bank. some of you will transfer to another country. that's what like Brother Amide will do. Brother Amide will go and buy Bitcoin. He will buy Bitcoin and sell it as USDT. That's a good one. I didn't know that. Send it to another country. Because the UK country will only have a regulation within the country. But tell you, you're now looking for Interpol. Hallelujah. Right? So if you do that, I come and share a testimony. You are just being deceptive.
Yeah.
Are we together? You're just being deceptive. Somebody might have made a mistake. Someone that have done something, you know. Yeah, so someone has asked me about miracle money. Do I believe in miracle money? Well, let's leave it there.
Maybe when I have it. When I have it, I'll come and tell you what I believe. I want to get that. But you must understand that the first thing you do when you have a strange money in your account is to call your bank. I want to get, don't waste time. Call your bank. And don't call your bank with the intention that they will tell you because you return it, will give you half. Some of you are like that. Yeah. You see, the reason why some of you, let me ask you a question. Have you not seen people fight? So, somebody, maybe somebody leaves a bag of money outside the church now, $100,000. And somebody who works here picks the bag and go and return it to the owner. And the owner said, thank you, you are upset. Do you understand? Don't you see it? The owner says, oh, thank you, or just take $100. She's like, oh, you say you will not even give anything.
Yeah.
Your government is hard, though. Right? And the person will now go online and say, people can be wicked. I don't understand. You will return someone's money. They tell you, thank you. He should have given you everything. You will now find out that the reason they returned it was not from a genuine place.
Yeah.
You should learn how to do good regardless of the reward.
Yeah.
You don't do good because of the reward. So in their mind, some people will first count it 100,000. Ah, this man, he should at least give me 50K. The question is, what if that money is not for him?
Mm.
But let's even assume it's for him. What? That says of entitlement. They're like, what? If somebody works, somebody put on it, somebody lost money, you are returning it. And you say you are returning it as a Christian.
Mm.
But say, I can't, I'm a wicked man, only $100. Wicked man, and he still has 999,000. Next time, let's see.
Yeah.
Next time, let's see. So, people say, okay, I'm gonna collect the bag from him. I say, so you must understand that, right? When you do good, when you live a kind of life, it's because you're a Christian. I would say that your lifestyle as well can affect the message, but it's not the message.
Yeah,
I went together, right? Your lifestyle can affect the message, but it's not the message. So, start looking at salvation, follow up meeting salvation, say salvation is eternal. We said the next thing we looked at was what. Sonship, right? We looked at salvation, looked at sonship. We looked at what? Righteousness. Then we looked at what again? Forgiveness of sins. Then we looked at what? Yes, indwelling of the Spirit. We looked at indwelling of the Spirit linked to forgiveness of sins. Then what we did on Wednesday was what? Spiritual growth. So let's continue with spiritual growth today. Oh, time is gone. Alright, I'll be done in a few seconds, okay? Believe me at your peril. So we looked at sonship, we looked at forgiveness of sins. I would say forgiveness of sins is a separation of man from his sin. Is that true? Some of us believe that forgiveness of sin is God pardoning you. No, it's not a pardon. It's a separation. Now, what does God do to the sins of man? The Bible says he puts the sins of man into what? The depth of the sea. Now, depth of the sea is used to speak about the world where man cannot alter what has been done there. That's what God does with sins. We started looking at the indwelling of the Spirit. We saw that God has put the Spirit in you. Then we said spiritual growth. Now, let's look at spiritual growth for the next 1-2 services. Spiritual growth, in the real sense, involves your deliberate action. All together. Let's start from Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2:2 verse 12. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:12. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12. Are you there? Let's shoot together. 1, 2, 3, go. Yes, saints, are you there? Philippians 2:12, let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence alone, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. So the Bible says you work out your what?
Salvation.
Now, you know there's a difference between work out your salvation and work for your salvation. Work for your salvation means do something, then the reward of what you do will be salvation. But it says, work out your salvation. So, for Paul to say, work out your salvation, it means salvation is already inside.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That means you are saved. Because Paul is addressing believers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, so this went up.
right? So Paul is addressing believers.
Hallelujah. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Look at what it says in verse 13. Let's read verse 13 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So working out your salvation means you need to demonstrate the fruit of your salvation. You can't say you are saved and still be acting like the unsaved. Are there Christians who are saved but act unsaved?
Yes.
There are people who are saved and they act unsaved. Listen, now that you are saved, now that you are born again, let people be able to tell the difference between where you were and where you are now. It means there are certain things you will not do again. It means there are certain places you will not go again. Hallelujah. Right? So, he says, work out your salvation. That means, let the fruits of your salvation. Altogether, let the fruits of your salvation be displayed. That's what you call spiritual growth. You see, when you grow spiritually, we will see it in your choices of words. We will see it how you talk. We will see it where you go to. Altogether. So, look at 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation. Is that your Bible? A royal what? Priesthood and holy what? Nation. A peculiar what? People. It now says that ye should what? You should show forth. Does show forth mean work out?
Yes.
Work out is equal to show forth.
Yes.
What is work out? Demonstrate. Yes. What is show forth? Demonstrate. So what did he say? Show forth the praises of him. The word there, praises there, implies virtues or perfections. So he says, work out your salvation, that you should show forth the praises of him who had what? Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So if God has called you out of darkness, it means by default you should not be walking as darkness. Are we together? If you are the light, it means you should walk as a light. It means that you've been called from darkness. There's a conduct of darkness. Is that true?
Yes.
Is there a conduct of darkness? There's a conduct of darkness. There's a way the believer should not behave. Are we together? You are a believer, everybody knows you as a liar. You are a believer that has come into the light, yet walking what? From. Walking based on the virtues of darkness. That's what James was teaching. He says, for ye ask amiss. Are we together? Right, that you might consume it upon your lust. That's what he taught there in James chapter 4. So you must understand that there are expectations for you as a believer. So this is one of the topics you need to teach your disciple and also for yourself. Right? So spiritual growth is not an increase in years. Are we together?
Yes,
spiritual growth is not the number of years. You know, some people say I've been a Christian for 250 years.
BC.
I've been a Christian for 250 years. BC. You know what BC is? Before Christ. Before Christ, you were a believer, you were saved, sanctified, you were already born again before he was even, before he even died, before he was born, you were born again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right? But you see, what we now hear you talk. How do you know your baby is growing when the words are getting clear? Imagine your baby at age 5. Da. You say you will knock him. Please, his sister, I remember me that said knock. And at age 10, mama.
A bigger knock.
Are we together? So there are certain things that are expected from a baby. And it will get to a time when you will drop childish things. Paul's talking about that, right?
Yeah.
About the spiritual growth. Said he acted like a baby on some matters. Spiritual growth will entail that because you fed your heart well with the word, there are certain things we will not see in you again. You see, one of the ways I can know you are not growing is if after 5 years of pastoring, you are still asking me, Pastor, is it a sin to go to the club? If after 10 years of pastoring you, you still have the question, Pastor, any what you want to do, ask it. Yeah, you know, I focused on one on Wednesday, right? You say, I'm growing spiritually. Nowadays, it has become normal to me. Once I go to a friend's page or someone's page on maybe Instagram or social media, once they put Psalm 21 or Psalm 54, I'm about to see a naked woman. Once they just put Psalm 34, Psalm 111, Proverbs 31. Once I see those proverbs, and my heart is already beating. Some of us want to taste light, but hold darkness. We want to taste light. Oh, I like the concept of light. That darkness is sweet, though. You know, someone was asking me a few years ago, Pastor, you're saying women should not do this, women should not do that, men should not do that. What will your wife wear to the beach? Oh, your wife went to the swimming pool. That is a wife now. You ask her. You ask her, what will she wear to the beach? You know, I give an example. I think I said it before. If someone was in my house and my wife gave them a room to stay in, maybe to just change their clothes before they went out or something, and I didn't know about that, and I walked into the house, and I walked into the bedroom, and the person has already removed their clothes. Right? What's the first response the lady will do when I walk in? You will hide. You will cover. You will shield. You say, come back! Not meaning there are some things in your mind. The one you now go for holiday. All together. Yeah? You go to France. You go to Italy. You leave your bedroom on the 11th floor. You come downstairs. You move your towel. The same clothes you were shying away from in the bedroom, you wear it openly.
Look for me.
Some of you will still go with tripod.
You're
ready. I need lights. And get the new one now is GRDW. Get ready with me. You started naked. Get ready with you. You started naked. Are you not ashamed of yourself? It's one thing to do that kind of thing, and it's another thing to add some. Don't add us to your mess. Don't put Proverbs. Remove it. Don't put in Christ dead. No. Act in the world fully with your chest. You now realize that women who will cover themselves in the room will boldly wear the same thing they wear in the room outside in the open, and they will pose. It's the pose for me. Then it's not just the posing, it's the posting for me. And you post it. And say, Pastor doesn't want me to lead prayer in the church. Pastor doesn't want me to lead any seminar in the church. How will you lead? Do you understand? There's something called spiritual growth.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be naked to be a sportswoman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So men are watching lawn tennis, they have their reason. I know of a man who met my father. He said he just loves the sport of lawn tennis. It took my father a while to find out that what he loved the most was the skimpy skirt. Mm. When they say, BOW! You are looking at a ball. The brother is looking at something. He said, I just love the sport. I just love the activities that I require. You see? You know, you don't have to be naked to be a sportswoman.
Yeah.
They're running 100 meter track, you are naked. Why? The trouser is heavy. Okay. The trouser is heavy. And it makes the wind to capture you. No. That you show forth the praises. Let us see your wardrobe and see it is different from that of a person who is in pure darkness. That's why you see some of us. It's very shameful for you to be looking for, as a believer, what you're looking for style to wear is from Amvaka. Is it Amvaka? What do you call it? Amvaka. It's not Amvaka. Sorry. It's not Amvaka, they call it. Sorry, what do they call it? AMVC. Tell of them. That's where people are picking clothes from, back. Amvaka. It sounds like Amvaka now. It's not Amvaka. That's where you want to look at the red carpet. And just snap it to say, I'm just, who's the Lord can I call? Yeah. Dear saints, Bible says, show forth the praises. Show forth the praises. Yes. There's a strand that's expected from you. There's a mindset that's expected from you. You know, there's nothing wrong in being conservative. You can be conservative. You can be conservative. You can be conservative. Are we together? Right? So, spiritual growth is actually something that's important for the believer to pay attention to. I said it here, that it's not an increase in your number of years. Are we together? So, someone can be 20 years in Jesus, but he has not grown. Are we together? So, your growth does not make you justified. Your growth does not make you saved. Your growth does not make you righteous. You only get righteous because of what he has done. The guarantee of your salvation is based on his work, not what you do or what you don't do. Are we together? Are we together? So, in the real sense, the Bible says there's, you know, there's such a thing called Christ in you. Are we together? You see, that Christ in you is actually what you need for Christian living. You know that they are really very an average Christian. When you want to do something bad, you have a conviction. You know in your heart not to do it. You know what we do? We learn how to silence those voices. You know. All together. So how do you give yourself your attention to growing spiritually? Look at 1 Peter 1. You can see 1 Peter, right? Look at 1 Peter 1:23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth, what? Forever. Look at verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Verse chapter 2, wherefore laying aside. So it means that by the word being preached, you should deliberately now lay aside certain conducts. Altogether, you lay aside certain conducts. Look at verse 2. It says, wherefore, chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy. Some believers can keep malice for Africa. They can keep malice for Europe. I forgive you, but if you do this, you are doomed. You just say it's done. Are we together? He says, let malice be put away from you. Let envy be put away from you. Look at verse 2. Let's read verse 2 together. 1 Peter 2, 2. 1, 2, 3, go. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow. So how will a believer grow? By the milk of the word, which actually is the word of God. So what do you need to grow? The word of God. How many of you take out time to ponder on the word of God? How many of you take out time to listen and read on the word? Let me tell you something, right? If you don't do that consistently, the activities of this world are distracting enough. Yes. Distracting enough. You'll just find out that your slants are already worldly, but you will not know. Your slants are already worldly, you will not know. 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 Yeah, so it says, desire, when you read the word enough, the word will change your heart. It's a progressive journey, but it will work on your heart. Mm-hmm. We should be able to see the difference between you 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and now. Some of you, the idea of your wedding dress in your mind when you were growing up needs to, you need to burn that idea in your mind. You need to burn it. You know how to, you need to burn your mind. Just catch, let it catch fire in your mind. It's important. Your tailor will give you a Bible to draw. Once you withdraw, say, the tailor will be like, let it come down. So I want to use you. Some of you, you see, your friend goes to a church, they want to join them in the church. The pastor says, I can't join you. Go and cover your chest. What's wrong with all these churches? What's wrong with them? They just condemn. They are just contaminators. They cannot even tolerate again. No patience or perseverance. How can they? I saw somebody shouting recently. The lady came and sat down in church and they gave her clothes to cover her leg. Said, what errand nonsense? Ha. That's why you don't blame some pastors. So when they are preaching, they ask their wife to sit in the place that will face the congregation. Yeah. So that their pastor's wife will see. Because you can be teaching like this. I just realized pastor is just doing like this. Pastor is going back to one position. Pastor is going. Pastor is going back. You know, like pastor, had the Lord said. And the pastor will just go. Yeah, go there, but he is faithful. Faithful is he that calleth. Pastor is going. You dress naked to the point you bring it to church. they give you wrapper to cover yourself. You say they are condemning you. You when you wore that skirt, you check mirror. You did like this, and you snapped it. And you did like this, and you saw the picture. You saw that, and your stand is above your knee. When you see that, where should it go down? You know, we need to be very factual on this kind of topic because some people like to claim they don't know. It's not true. Somebody was asking me that question, Pastor. How do you see you are saying believers' conduct? Oh, Pastor, I wear anything. And that's a simple question. I said, this clothes you are wearing. If you are traveling and your husband is alone in the house and you have a house assistant, and the day you are packing your box, your husband is seeing you downstairs, and the house assistant just come from her room with what you are wearing. Bye, ma. Wish you a safe journey, ma. What will you do? You will cancel the trip. And you know that she's just there to cook for your husband and wash the plate and just be a red while you are away for 2 weeks. And she wears the exact thing you wore. And she came downstairs and said, goodbye, ma. How many of you are strong enough to continue that journey?
None.
Some of you might even book flight for the lady to go. I said, no, my husband, I'll be ordering food to the house. Don't worry. That means you know there's something wrong with it, but you wore it. Just like you wore that. I'm saying, let your house assistant wear what you wore. Let what is showing in what you wore be showing in your house assistant's body. And you're traveling for 2 weeks. Even if it's your wife that trusts you very well, her mind will be, she will not sleep. She will make sure she does video call throughout the trip. Let's assume she has to go for the trip. Smarties, you just pick her phone. Smarties, she can be having a meeting with her boss in the office. As you're talking about, you see, yeah, if you just send 200 million, let me just call my husband. And you will not do audio call. You know, if you do video call, it doesn't pick. Your mind will not go to the fact that maybe he's outside or he left his phone upstairs. It is, what is happening? No, what is happening? No. Do you understand that? So it means that your heart knows what you are doing.
Yeah.
We don't need to speak English. Yeah, Pastor, I don't know. You know, it's relative. Which one should I wear? Which one should I wear? Just answer this. Any day you want to ask them, say that question. Which one should I wear? Which one should I not wear? Just ask a good question. If this part of my body is showing, and I'm going for 2 weeks alone, and my husband is in the house, how would I feel? Some of you will still like yourself.
No, I'm okay. Women can wear what they want to wear.
You see, you are drinking something you don't know. Yeah? So you see, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk. There's an extent of the word you will feed yourself with.
Yeah.
And we're together, and it will show. Look at 2 Peter 3:18. Let me begin to wrap up this morning. 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. We're still going to do a full series on believers' conduct. All of you that have questions of, Pastor, is it wrong to drink alcohol? Pastor, I want to drive alcohol in my this thing. Pastor, is it wrong to do this one? Pastor, is it wrong to plait my hair? Pastor, is it wrong to do that on my body? Pastor, we'll answer all those questions in the coming days, okay? We've done the first series of that probably 3 years ago, but we'll pick it up again. So 2 Peter 3. Look at 3:18. It says, but grow in grace. So how does a man grow in grace? You've heard me talk about the word and, right? What is and? That is, I mean, that is to say, which is to say. So how do you read 2 Peter 3 verse 18? Let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. But grow in grace, that is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it means that what Peter is not teaching is there's something called growing grace and there's something called growing knowledge. So growing grace is not different from growing knowledge. Grow in grace, I mean to say grow in knowledge. So if you want to grow in grace, how do you grow in grace? You grow in knowledge. So you grow in grace by growing in knowledge. Are we together? Right? It says, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Look at Galatians 5:16. Let's have a quick read in Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. It says, work out your salvation. But it says, for it is God that worketh in you the desire both to will and to do of his pleasure. So there's no believer that lacks the ability to do God's will. No believer lacks the ability to do the pleasure of the Lord. No believer does. No believer does. No believer does. No believer does. Look at Galatians 5 verse 16. It says, this I say, walk in the what? Spirit. If you go back to chapter 4 verse 19. My little children of whom I travail in birth. Are we together? Are you there? Galatians 4:19. I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in your heart. Are they believers?
Yes.
But is there such a thing that requires Christ being formed?
Yes.
So that we can see it expressed as your conduct?
Yes.
Are we together? Yes. Right? So it says Christ being formed in your heart. What does... So for Christ to be formed in your heart, there will be referred to as what? Your actions, your characters. It will be reflected in the things you do. Look at chapter 5, verse 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit. And you shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? It says in verse 17, for the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary the one. So it means that the flesh and the spirit are opposites. They are opponents. God wants you to walk in the spirit. The devil wants you to walk in the flesh. So it means that you require a consistent fight. It must come from your inside. It says they are contrary the one to the other. So it means that when you are born in the spirit, you are born again, there are some fleshly activities that must not come close to you. There's some fleshly activities you do not see being expressed from you. See, there's a difference between a believer having a Christian journey, and in the Christian journey, they make mistakes. It's different from the Christian journey. This one is more than a mistake. It's now a deliberate, intentional effort to fulfill desires of the flesh. I was together. It says, for the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Look at verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under what? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, various emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which should what? Do such things shall not what? Inherit. Now I'm going to look at this, teach on that, on this statement in coming days. It says, shall not inherit. The word they inherit there just means to be a partaker of. Are we together? Right? So it says, shall not inherit what? The kingdom of God. What is it discussing? Flesh and spirit. Look how this is. Verse 22, but the fruit of the spirit. Can fruit be seen as virtues?
Yes.
Is it similar to work out your salvation?
Yes.
Show forth, that is demonstrate.
Yes.
He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. In the recent, a good way to read that is the fruit of the Spirit is love. In love, we find joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Meekness, temperance, against self, there is no law. And they that are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with their affections and lust. 25, let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be... Everybody read this one together. Let's read together, loud voice. 1, 2, 3, go. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Right? So, when the Bible says walk in your Spirit, can we say the Bible is saying walk in your nature? Walk in your nature. Walk in your nature. Okay, beautiful. You're putting it in context, right? Okay, so if we say walk in your new nature, should your new nature be your nature?
Yes.
Your new nature should be your nature. Because you now have the nature of the Spirit.
Yes.
So a better context can be walk in the Spirit means walk in your new nature. Are we together? Right? So to walk in the Spirit will mean to walk in your nature. What is the nature about love?
Love.
To walk in love. Mm-hmm. So the reason why you will not do certain things is because of love for another.
Yeah,
because of love for another. Because of love for another. So he says, walk in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit if we live in the Spirit. I'll close here. So it means that the fruit that is expected of the believer will be seen in the actions and the conduct of the believer. So one of the things you teach your new disciples and also remind yourself, there's a conduct expected from you. You know, if your office should ask you to come to the office at what certain time, you know you can go there at the same time that they ask you to come. Yeah. And if you're not going to go there at the same time, not the one that they will not ask you, when did you come? You now say the time they ask you to come. Are we together? There are certain things that are not expected from you as a believer. Yeah? Paul will teach us that because of love, for love's sake, I will stay away from meat if meat causes my brother to sin. That should be your mindset. That should be your mindset. Not because I'm sanctified in Christ. Saturday night, you're in the club. You post yourself. You see what song am I singing? I don't know the song I'm singing yourself. No, sanctified is your name, your work. Only you do it. Right? Yeah? We see you on Saturday, then on Saturday night towards Sunday morning, navigating your Bible. No, 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 no. That should not be your life. Not the one that you people can post to you, now mute me. The pastor is the one that's complaining. Just mute him. Just excuse me from your list. Are we together? No. No. Someone reached out to me a couple months ago, asked me, why are you the one pastoring this person? I'm not being frivolous. Someone asked me, why not this person's pastor? Yeah, that kind of person that say, if this was a Christian, I'm an angel. Do people not see it?
Yeah.
People say it now. If this one can serve Jesus, me in my room, I'm serving God. Because of your conduct, because of your lifestyle. Don't be for Jesus and portray the activities of the devil. If you're for Jesus, stay for Jesus. You can be for Jesus and be for Jesus. I was speaking with someone recently, a few months ago. A person was asking me, when you're a young person now, don't you have those feelings of trying to just, stay in the world so that when you get to your 40s, you will just serve Jesus with all your heart. You know, it was that day I now realized that a lot of us, in our 20s into 30s, we think we want to enjoy life now so that when we turn to 50, we start tying our head and be following Jesus with all our heart. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows the number of years you live on earth.
Yeah.
You know, some of us act as if we're the ones that control time.
Mm.
See, from on us, I've turned 19. From 19 towards my 29. As I'm approaching the third floor, Pastor, I want to enjoy my life. Pastor, there's nothing you can say. I must enjoy my life. When you start entering 30, you now start seeing reality of life. And I say, Pastor, I think I still want to give myself some space. Pastor, you taught us not to condemn people. Pastor, this is my battle. Please face it with me. face my battle with me, pastor. You know, and as a pastor, yes, I should embrace you. Right? But see, a lot of people now, because they know pastor is supposed to embrace them, they intentionally act in the flesh. That's why I always tell you, whilst we teach people to forgive, we must also teach people not to be the ones offending. Because I realize that in the local church, a lot of times we teach about, see how Joseph forgave Potiphar's wife. See how Joseph forgave Potiphar's wife. We ought to tell some people that they ought not to be what?
Potiphar's wife.
Look at someone and talk about the things you learned today.
Mm-hmm.